This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
First of all,
divorcing my husband and I put Herb Camino up for adoption. He just grins because he knows those two clowns and goes, "What was that all?" It's like, it's about time. I didn't say divorcing. I'm leaving my husband, is what I said. I'm leaving my husband. But she's a peach. She is totally fine. And I know Wood would send somebody to us.
Myra, did Sean get you that email? Or I think he was going to send you an email because we missed you on that call yesterday. He says, "I'm sorry, I dropped the ball on that."
So it's next time, right?
There is. 2 weeks.
Good to be seen. Kelsey, how's it going?
You need a chair today.
Think that is a, I don't think so. I didn't get the memo.
The deer in the headlights memo. So your chair is missing.
Yeah, he is. That's so good. He's got a minute. Let me start this baby. Start. Good morning. Welcome to the City County Morning Monthly Meeting. I think we're going to start with Buffalo Housing Group giving us an update. Jerry? Travis?
I'm going to hand it over to Travis.
Yeah, so we're the legal and formal name is Johnson County Communities Foundation. And I'm not quite sure how the concept was hatched. Jerry or Jeff, did you kind of kick it off? I know Jerry came into my office and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about forming a group. Are you interested?" Or,
yeah.
And so I guess that's kind of how it all started. Jeff, or Commissioner Shelley, was instrumental in on the county side anyway, initially as the liaison and Councilman Madsen on the city side. So they came to several of our first meetings. So this was right about a year ago that we incorporated and started the 501c3, not quite knowing what direction this was going to take. This whole process, I feel like, we've been kind of, not necessarily inventing it, but educating ourselves along the way as to what we can do, how we can be effective, how we can work towards solving the solution of the housing crisis that is not unique to Johnson County, but statewide and probably countrywide. You know, a problem that was only accentuated when COVID happened and people were moving to other states and real estate prices doubled and inflation was running rampant, where housing really became unaffordable. And so, again, you know, we incorporated about a year ago, and kind of our first step towards education was traveling up to Red Lodge that we met with the Red Lodge Community Foundation, the Montana Land Trust, and Montana Habitat for Humanity to see what all projects they have going on. Very impressive. Had a lot of takeaways from that, different vehicles that they've used to try to get affordable housing into their community. We talked with Brandy Harlow from the Wyoming Business Council, and she sent a suite of products that that is available through the state. One that's pretty interesting is this tax increment financing. And first learned about that up in Red Lodge, where they kind of took a whole area of their town and put it in this TIF program. But they anchored that to, I would say, a higher-end residential development. And so they were able to spin off the tax revenue from that development to then reinvest into developing the other areas that was within this TIF footprint. In May, and my dates might be a little bit off, I was just trying to recall from memory, but around in May we had three presentations from different LIHTC entities, which stands for Low Income Housing Tax Credits. Housing Solutions, Wyoming Housing Network, which is the only one within this domicile within the state of Wyoming, and Hahn Development out of Michigan or Minnesota, I'm not sure. Housing Solutions is, I think it was December of last year that we learned that their tax credit was approved through WCEA, and that's the proposed, is it 18 unit, Jerry?
I'm sorry?
Is it an 18 unit apartment complex?
Oh, 24 unit.
24 unit? Yeah. So that was exciting that we have some housing being developed for that need in our community. What we've really been racking our brains on and trying to figure out is how we meet that missing middle, which is the 80 to 120% AMI. So that's when Jerry brought in Habitat for Humanity of the Big Horns. And they, you know, are really active in Sheridan. I don't know if you've seen any of the articles that they have going on, but they've been able to partner with that Sheridan Land Trust and get some land and start a pretty major development there. It was a six-month process, you know, after they decided to meet our request for expanding their service area. And So they went through that process, and I think if you read in the paper, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that they've been formally approved to expand into Johnson County. And so I had a follow-up meeting with them last week. And, you know, there's so many tools available through their programs, but, you know, where do we start? They're going to start by kind of pushing this aging-in-place program that they have, which is a program for seniors to get home repairs done, whatever it is that needs to be done to their house, whether it's painting, whether it's a handrail going up the steps to their front door. So I think initially they're going to push that program in our community until other opportunities unfold. And this was kind of a spinoff, and where Commissioner Novotny and Barry Crago approached us about the House Draw fire and the fire relief efforts in Johnson County. So we were able to use the foundation as a conduit to collect donations and distribute the proceeds from their fundraising efforts. I want to say they allocated something like 70% of those dollars. Bill, do you know how much they raised? Like $250,000 or something?
And it's ongoing, but yeah, that was the last of what I heard, Travis.
So there's still some residual in place, I think, to kind of see how the dust settles and if there's any shortfall from federal programs that are coming in. In January of this year, we met with the WCDA on their CDBG grants because we want to start working with potential developers on you know, moving their developments forward. And the CDBG grant is available for infrastructure. Now, to qualify for the grant, something like 50% of the houses have to be sold to people that are at the, I want to say, 60 or maybe it's 80% AMI. And so the real task is, how do you build a house that someone can qualify for? Well, it was pretty easy 6-7 years ago when mortgage rates were around 3%. You know, now that they're 7%, it really makes it tough for them to qualify. You know, they pretty much can't have any other debt other than housing debt in order for them to meet the ratios and the loan programs. But providing the infrastructure for the developer through this grant is one mechanism to lower that housing cost. We've reviewed a lot of housing studies, and I listed three of them here. I know there's a lot more of them. And we'll kind of review one a little more in detail, which is the latest one. In January of this year from the WCDA, the Wyoming Statewide Strategic Housing Action Plan. Also, WCDA came out with a study a year ago in the State Housing Needs Assessment. And then if you've been, you know, following this item for the last couple of years, you know that the Wyoming Business Council has kind of shifted their economic development efforts to focus more on providing housing. It seems like it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago where the Wyoming Business Council recommended to the SLID board paying for the infrastructure for a housing development in Douglas, it was pretty radical at the time because the business council had never brought forth such a request, and I don't think that the SLIB board approved that grant at the time, but you know, subsequently the Wyoming Business Council has hired this Harvard Growth Lab to do a couple different studies, and the latest one was this Housing in Wyoming Constraints and Solutions. So really interesting reads on all of these as to what you as a municipality and a county government can do if you guys believe that this is truly a crisis in our county and want to make efforts towards remedying that. So, you know, I feel like the update this morning and initial discussion is fine, but I think you guys still need to talk amongst yourselves and decide if this is a priority that you want to push forward in our community and what you're going to do about it. And to accomplish that, I would probably suggest a work session. So what can the city and the county do? If you read these studies, you know, there's lots of suggestions. This Harvard Growth Lab had many, and I've kind of been, I get my news digest from that Cowboy State Daily, which is kind of nice. And it seems like about once a month, you know, an article comes up in some community in our state where, you know, a developer or a contractor is specifically requesting something that is recommended in this study. And inevitably, the council in that community doesn't agree to do it. Now, it could be something as simple as we're going to allow this development with reduced lot sizes to 5,000 square feet. Or instead of our requirement of 30% rock work on the on this development, the developer has to forego that, and the council doesn't agree with it. So I think it is going to take courage and boldness, probably some political shrapnel, to make those kind of hard decisions on that. So, but again, it's truly like what you believe is this community. In order for us to move forward as a community, in order for us to have employees for the businesses here, what is necessary for us to do and to steer the development and the community that direction. Jerry provided this for you, which is, you know, what the city and the county can do. And this was kind of snippets taken from this latest WCDA, State Housing Needs Assessment. And I see on here that your associations, Wyoming Association of Municipalities, the Commissioners Association, the Planners Association, it looks like they're kind of picking up that ball and running with it, because there's, you know, time frames for that happening. And I'm just curious as to what you're hearing from your associations in regards to this. So I'll open it up to all of you. Anyway, I guess regardless, you know, it's something to be aware of and maybe to follow up on. You know, it's good that there's discussions happening. Whether or not there's going to be any action, you know, from any of this, I guess, is yet to remains to be seen. What can the Johnson County Communities Foundation do? And you know, we have a group of guys that are used to the speed of business with that group, and just trying to keep tempered and do what we can to be a resource and towards this solution. It's kind of been our main goal because we don't have any money. We don't have you know, anything in the foundation yet, like a land trust would have. If you know of anyone that wants to donate land, Jerry has had discussion with 3 or 4 landowners about the potential of doing something. Have not had any wins in that area yet. But I think with just education, with becoming more known, you know, maybe something will happen in that area. And so if you go to the next page, we kind of came up with a mission, vision, and kind of what our values are. And I definitely want to praise the progress that our group has made, even though that there, you know, isn't housing being provided currently for many of our efforts. I think we've made a lot of traction with Habitat for Humanity, with the LIHTC project coming to town. And so really it boils down to that we are committed to fostering collaboration and providing philanthropic support for key projects that benefit Johnson County. You know, and how do we do that? By supporting attainable housing, quality of place, quality of life initiatives, while uniting stakeholders in a shared vision and improvement to the community. So really, what we are at this point is kind of a resource to developers, to contractors, hopefully to the city and the county, and really a partner in trying to keep the focus on meeting this need. And so, I don't know, I think being forward-thinking when it comes to this is an absolute necessity. I think we need efforts on all fronts, including the city and the county, to make efforts in moving this ball forward. You know, I don't know who coined that saying, you know, if it wasn't for the last minute, nothing would get done. And I think that with the housing efforts, you know, we're kind of at the last minute. And so trying to do something to benefit the workers in our community and the businesses in our community is pretty critical at this point. I think the writing's on the tea leaves on the state level. You know, my philosophy on economic development has shifted, and maybe it's just because of what I'm hearing and all the efforts around the state on what do we do about housing in our communities. So that's pretty much my presentation today. I don't know, Jerry, do you want to add anything?
Some of the projects we looked at, I think maybe the easiest solution to get existing rental housing is to work with the developer. Secondly, to have a vehicle for land donation, which is can be our 501c, but really a land trust is more well known and established. And then finding grants for the infrastructure. And we had two projects, or a third one maybe, proceeding that way, but it takes a lot of effort. And the developer turns out to be kind of one of the key parts, finding a developer that's willing to do that. And it's a big effort. And so that's where I've been focusing and we're trying, but I think it's the vehicle to get quickest success for the missing middle part of it. And thanks, Travis, for joining me.
Right, Jerry brings up a good point, is that missing middle, which again is the 80 to 120% AMI. How's that accomplished? And we've got an entire year with, you know, not hearing any solutions for that until, you know, our meeting with Habitat for Humanity, and they've been able to accomplish that through their Weston Village Development. It's a 30-home development where the land trust essentially owns the land, and the city and the county gave Habitat for Humanity $3 million to do the infrastructure, so, you know, put in the utilities and the streets and curb and gutter. And so without the land and the infrastructure costs, it's just the costs of the vertical improvements on it. Now, the homeowner, you know, buys this house with a deed restriction, and it's only allowed either 2 or 3% annual appreciation in it. And then when they go to sell it, it has to be sold to someone else that qualifies, you know, for that loan program. So that's probably one of the only examples that I know of how to meet that missing middle, which are all of your employees, you know, my employees. You know, I could think of 6 of my employees that would qualify, you know, for that program, which would be nice. So. All right.
Thanks, Travis.
Any questions?
Do you want to schedule like a work session? Is that something we need to talk about? Now or soon?
I personally think it would be a great idea. I mean, if nothing else, to gauge the temperature of the county and the city on, you know, how we're going to progress and keep this rolling forward. So I don't know what all your thoughts are. I mean, I might even suggest, like, I don't know, someone from the WCDA or Business Council would be willing to, you know, someone, I guess, a lot more knowledgeable than our group on what all is being done. You know, someone that knows all these updates on what WAM and the Commissioners Association and the Planners Association have going on. You know, it would be good to maybe include a resource like that.
Have you
talk much about this tax increment financing and the fact that it doesn't work in Wyoming because our taxes are so low. I mean, that's a, it's just a, something to put on a piece of paper, but it's
right.
Not working.
It looks good. But again, it has to be tied to a major development to get that tax revenue off of that in order to be able to spend that money off and do things. I recently financed two projects down in Cheyenne. I don't know if you've seen in the news. One is like a 90 home or 90 unit apartment complex, and another one is like 110 unit. One's downtown, one's on the east side of Cheyenne. But those were both TIF projects, and you know, to where I think they can, you know, parlay that money into doing some good things in downtown Cheyenne and on the east side of Cheyenne.
If I might, Laramie declared the whole city the proper designation to be able to use TIF on every project in the city. And so they're proceeding hard with that vehicle.
You mean the town of Laramie or the county?
The town.
So, Mike, I don't believe that the county has the authority to declare that. I'm rereading, because of course we had all this interim work done and there was a bill, House Bill 68, tax incremental financing, that was a committee bill, and of course it died, but it expanded the application of the code to include affordable housing. And so at this point, within municipalities, can TIF only be used for low-income housing? What?
No, I think TIF can be used for to develop anything within the footprint. So probably more primarily infrastructure, streets, utilities.
Yeah, because this latest bill they looked at, again, only applied to municipalities. And it double blighted areas.
Travis, are you, I mean, should we maybe talk to Brandy at Business Council or maybe someone from WCA, try to put together a meeting and then invite those from the city and the county that want to be part of that so we could kind of talk? I mean, this is the problem, and we all know this. This has been going on for a while. I mean, I do mortgage loans for a living. I see it. Talking to appraisers and realtors, there's like less than 30 houses on the market, and most of them are beyond the reach of your average person that can buy a home. And it's totally different from when I moved here almost 20 years ago, which was even seemed very expensive coming from a small little town in Illinois where a nice house was $80,000 in 2008. But, you know, your average house out there is like 400 something thousand. I mean, looking at some of the numbers I get from some of the appraisers that are on the appraisals that show the average sales price between Johnson County, Sheridan County, Campbell County, it's just crazy compared to what it was pre-COVID. And every year it's just gotten higher because there's less houses and the demand's there and the supply's not. So how we get to where we need to be, I don't know. But I think it's something that we have to figure out a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll certainly start with Brandy and see, you know, who she would recommend that could come in and not necessarily a moderator, but you know, just more of a real knowledgeable resource on what's all going on within our state.
Travis, I'd also like to see the school district, the hospital, and
yes. And the veterans home.
Mm-hmm. Just because they also have a stake in it, and I think the model of they used to provide teetridges, and I think that could still be a good idea, but maybe with the idea of home ownership, and again, where you've got that restrictive deed, so that if they do sell and move to something, maybe that they build or like better, it goes to someone else in that same situation, mm-hmm. same qualifications.
Yep, that's the concept. So. Well, thank you for the feedback, and you'll be hearing from us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Travis. Thanks, Jared.
Signs up there. I'm going to reach out. Mary's going to reach out to Chris and see about putting one up in the movie theater parking lot. Another sign. Catching that traffic on that side. From the city, it sounds like you guys are still going to stripe that.
We're going to stripe that.
That was the last plan, and I think we're going to move forward with redoing that parking lot behind what used to be 4th on Main. Once the weather cooperates with us, we can get in there and do the dirt work. Hard to top that. We can go for asphalt. So. Add some additional parking. There's some, maybe some conversation about redoing some parking options on the east side of this street, but I have to get the safety folks involved in that conversation. So.
But so no discussion like with Arnett Tiller to see if you could use that for overlook flow parking. No signs at the corner of Bonner Mountain directing folks to the parking area behind the baseball field. Just two signs, nothing.
Well, Arnett really doesn't want to mess with it, sounds like, having people over there. So on that side, we have Nick Smith's lot, that city piece right there that we can maybe sneak into at night. Didn't think about the bomber putting one up by that stoplight or something, that's a good idea. But how many signs do we total that we have that we can put information on? We don't have them.
Well, it doesn't, I don't think, just my opinion, I don't think it has to be flashing message signs. It could be signs that our road and bridge department or city public works makes all the time that directs
just
folks,
detour down
say, free off-street parking, some at either end of the business district that says, businesses are open during construction. I had forwarded you guys the message that Toby with the Tourism Association thought about speaking with YDOT to get messages on the big display signs to say, normally it's fire in the area or winter weather, but there's a lot of times of the year, so maybe we could convince YDOT to put the message up there. Construction in Buffalo, businesses are open, plenty of parking.
How far ahead of schedule are we right now?
I think they said a week or two, what, 10 days?
He said 2 weeks at a meeting at the end of March.
And I would think some of that construction signage that said businesses are open and how to get access to everything should be part of the YDOT contract and on the responsibility of the contractor.
They said signage was all our responsibility. Hmm.
Because normally that's been part of the contract. It seems like we're getting on the hook for more and more for the YDOT project.
So what's the problem? I mean, We're living down here, and to me, it seems like traffic is flowing really well, and people are finding places to park. I should warn you that today, they're going to the entrance into, not the parking lot, but around the island, they're going to pour a valley pan. So that will be torn up and will close for however long it needs to cure, a week or so, and then when they can put traffic on, so you can access the parking lot, but you have to go around the island and go the wrong way. There will be arrows pointing, and the contractor, you know, is going to, so you can't park right in front of City Hall, but you could get into the parking lot. And then when that opens, then they'll move on down and do the next section. But I guess my question that I'm looking at is,
go ahead.
I see that people are still coming downtown. They're still accessing the businesses. Now, it was difficult when they were doing those service lines, but, you know, that in a week or so was, they're out of the area, and now they're on that way.
And it's been a good time because it's typically the time businesses are slow anyway. So, I mean, being ahead of the project is, you know, huge for everybody because we have about a month before we really start seeing more traffic flow coming in.
I think the big thing is for us to be mindful to, we should be visiting those businesses too, you know, going and getting whatever they're selling down here. You know, it makes it really easy to just duck out of here because we know we're under construction, but I think everybody in the community should support.
I see what you're saying, Mr. Chair.
You know, having gone in and talked to some of those folks, including some businesses that have talked about having no sale days, meaning they opened the door, they had zero sales all day. There's a lot of concern. And yeah, it's easy to say, oh, we're a little bit ahead of construction right now, but weather changes, they pull a giant boulder or discover a void or have other delays in construction. It would be good if we were trying to be proactive to help the traveling public that is coming through our town navigate and also help these folks that kind of feel like they've been left high and dry.
Well, then I would think that we need to focus on this north end because that's where they've moved on to. This is about, we're ready to, I think, end of April. So it'll be like within the next week, they're going to start with that rotor milling, and then they start the hot mix in May, and they'll pave that.
Right.
Who has the ownership of the old Chinese restaurant?
I don't have any idea.
Angela. Mm-hmm.
It's all the group up Sherman.
Isn't she in Casper? She has that, and she has where Subway is, the Roundhouse. I can get her name for you.
Yeah, maybe we could put a sign there, and then as it progresses forward, we can look at something maybe down on Hart Street.
I just really feel we need to be proactive. You know, it doesn't cost a ton of money to deploy a few assets to try to keep these folks going, show that there's genuine concern about our community rather than kind of a hands off, oh, they'll get through it or we're through the worst. Because I believe we're through it once the contractor turns the project over to you and says it's done. Because I think we're a long way from.
I can appreciate what you're saying, Mr. Chair.
I think you're onto something, though, as far as we should route them down Lobbin rather than, you know, keep them coming this way.
Yeah, and maybe it's at John Moeller's little house that there's some signage in it there that alternate route to Main Street businesses.
Where's the signage that we have? Did you say we had two signs up now?
Just the one.
The McKinley parking lot next to Kirby's building?
And that's
across from Ballins.
You didn't quite put it the way I think it's hard for people to read.
And I'll just tell you that I've been sitting on my couch watching Netflix for 2 weeks, so I don't know what's been going on. But I didn't notice it driving down here today.
Yeah.
I didn't notice the sign because there's so much chaos at the brewery right now.
Well, and it needs to be.
I don't know what's going on there.
It needs to be repositioned.
So I mean, because there were so many signs, so I didn't, they didn't stand out to me, that's all I'm gonna say.
Initially it was facing Main Street, which did no good because you'd already been through it. So they hadn't turned it around facing, so they could turn at the light and at least know that they can come around that direction.
I would say the vast majority of our tourism, maybe our tourism folks can help, would probably come from Hart off and down Main Street versus the south end of Main, so we can focus some signage up there and figure out something maybe down by the old moose or something.
I guess what I would say on South Main, especially when they remove the box culvert and do that, if we can try to route them down the truck stop and then in. There's ways to get people into our community. What we don't want is people to bypass.
Yeah. Could be possible to put that sign that's in the parking lot up there at the old Goonies Conoco station.
Is that the one across from Maverick?
Yeah, the one across from Maverick. I don't know what's in there now, but just a suggestion.
Baby Riddle or whatever was in the, used to be in Marble Mountain, they bought their own building, but whatever that, essential oils and baby products, we can figure it out. But yeah, they just use that more for storage. But that chunk from 4th Street to Hart Street is going to be torn up for months. I think they're figuring 2 or 3 months before they'll get that entire water line done, so it's going to be a big impact all summer long.
And I'll talk to Barbie. See if John Mueller's old house is a good spot.
And again, I'm not saying you have to put a giant flashing, but a 4x6 or a 4x4 there.
Is this road by what was 4th and Main open to be able to turn to go to the ball field to park there?
I don't know.
That was the question. It's not open right now.
Not right now.
Right.
No.
How long has that been? That this is closed for the, will it not be open, I assume, in a couple, few weeks then? Or?
I think they poured a lot of sidewalk right there, the bump out.
Okay. I was just thinking, Shelby would go over there to park, but if...
They've had that, and then gets closed, so it makes it, you do have to work a little bit to get out that way.
Yeah.
But I think within a week, that'll be open. But it will be hard to pull a trailer or a motorhome and turn. We should route them
to Angus.
And the semi traffic coming down the mountain has to go through that intersection. It's going to be, they're going to be going through the construction. There's no real easy way to bypass them around town, going through residential areas.
Angus was closed a couple days last week. I don't know if it's still closed. So it's, you can't turn
on Higgins. So you'd have to turn on Fort and then go down around Baller Mountain to park down that way. So we'd want to push them to the right and then signage to the left to down.
But that's right now. I mean, in
right
the
now, right
now.
I mean, we put up a sign, it might change in a week.
Well,
but you can always move that. I mean, they're mobile. I mean, if we have small, I mean, like you said, it's not going to be some big flashing thing. If you have a sign that's mobile, then when that changes, then you move it to a location that makes sense. But we can.
And the city has a sign much like the one in the county parking lot, I think.
And you can put something, I'm sure, at the brewery or point them to go that way around. But there's so much going on in the brewery parking lot between yesterday and today, and I don't know what's going on.
Sewer replacement.
Side of the street up from here. And just need to get those trees out of there and put some more like shrubbery, a tall shrubbery.
I think that's what we were planning on doing a few years ago. It sounded like, just reading the paper, there was a lot of pitchforks and angry people.
We were going to get hung from one of those trees.
Yeah, we were going to hang over the trees. And
well,
I know the black grapes, that's the old ones. They just laid back in there. They haven't.
It's been breaking those up for years, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think there's a plan where they can build a small box type thing around it to contain the roots. How Midwest can I get seeing that? In the current ones, I do believe that there's one tree that has to go. So.
Well, yeah, they got that one by that Thai restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Could have taken that one out, but the rest of them should be taken out anyway, because the same thing is going to happen with the rest of them. It's happened already up there, and you put in new concrete, and what's going to happen? We all know that those roots have more intensity and growing.
And they get in the sewer lines?
Yeah.
And all those have caused problems for years.
That's right. There isn't the type of evergreen type bush that would stay green year round and not threaten to uproot the concrete. There's people talking about that now, and I went over and looked at it. And this isn't a good solution to have new concrete on top of existing trees, I don't think.
Speaking of new concrete, I'm very disappointed on how they piecemealed the sidewalk instead of replacing the entire sidewalk. I think it doesn't add to our community and our downtown appeal, where they've just gone in and patched rather than replaced.
Well, it was really unfortunate. I mean, I think you and I got the same angry phone call that they really wouldn't work with us going back 3-4 years ago. When I was on council last time, and we tried to put together a downtown committee there, we wanted to do all the sidewalks, and why not said, no, don't. We're going to be fixing this and this and this. And we said, well, which ones are you fixing? Well, we don't know. So they really wouldn't really communicate with us where we could even have a plan, and then basically told us not to do anything until afterwards.
So we did put in for transportation alternative plan. We got on the IUP. They'll be calling us and they're going to say, well, what are you talking about, sidewalks? We just did the sidewalks on Main Street, and that'll be our chance to talk about it. I do want to remind everyone, though, that YDOT has, remember, they do a STIPS thing every year, and for the last, this has been 10 years in the making doing this, and they have said that their funding was cut, and this project, it different than Sheridan, this was a preservation project. So it was just going to be road mill and overlay. And we pushed really hard to do, we added on to the project. We extended the time that it was going to take and everything, because we did that water main from Fort to Hart. And then also that we allowed people to change their water lines and sewer service lines, which expanded it. So as we pushed, we wanted to redo, you know, we wanted to go storefront to storefront. And for the last 5 years, they have told us this is a preservation project. We are not going all the way down. Anything else was on us. So, I mean, that, I know it's been frustrating, but I don't feel that they've changed their story. It's just not what we wanted to hear always.
I just envisioned a different outcome from the word replace.
Yeah. And I'm concerned too about, like on Angus, I know the new handicap ramp there. It looks like the water from Angus is going to flood the sidewalk. The Episcopal Church already does. They brought that up at the meeting. I drove by the post office on Friday afternoon. Somebody was watering up the hill. Water's coming right down, going across, diagonally across both handicap access ramps. And I knew they were going to update them, but they made them worse. And I don't know if the city has any recourse. If they provide new concrete that actually makes it more hazardous, because it's going to be ice up all winter long, I don't know what our recourse is. I didn't know what the new slopes were going to look like until they got them poured. And then I was, when I look at it, it's, that's not going to work. It's, I see, I think I've identified about 4 or 5 intersections right now that I can see just from an untrained eye that they're going to ice up and they're going to probably need replaced. And can we get YDOT to tear out new concrete to replace it so it doesn't flood our sidewalks or flood our buildings?
And cause more hazard.
Yeah, because even in front of First Northern Bank, it looks like that water's going to go right into the building. Down there. I don't know. I'm not impressed with their design work.
I think to patch the sidewalks, to make it all pretty and to use one person's comment towards me that I'm pathetic because I didn't do it, is about $500,000.
Well, that's what we're asking for in the transportation, and it's like 95% that would be YDOT money, which these are YDOT sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if you can convince this particular person that calls me pathetic on a daily basis because we didn't do it, then I'll buy you a steak dinner. But, Mr. Chair, to start out where we started on this thing, I can appreciate what you're saying. So. Thank you.
But, so I don't even know where we're at. Are we on announcements? Or?
I think Mike took us around.
We need a journal. What day is this?
It's Tuesday.
It's tax day.
Yes.
It is.
Pay your taxes. We need the money. I don't have anything.
Where do we have signage? Do we have signs? I guess we go back to that somewhere in the shop or.
I will meet with Kevin.
Okay.
When he's got his permit.
And if we can help, sometimes we can order, we get our signs through state prison, so it's. I don't know how quickly their turnaround is.
It's tax day, so those that don't pay their taxes can make us some signs. I guess we started the show, Bob.
Management Council met last week to assign interim topics. I haven't seen exactly what was finally decided on. Does sound like they're going to cut some of the interim meetings back to save money and stop killing bills that are created in the interim. So I don't know what the schedule looks like, so we can talk about that in May once we have an updated schedule.
Commissioner, Councilman,
and MPs.
Vice Mayor, Madam Clerk, Mr. Chair, press, public. it's Bill's party. he kind of got stepped on there a little bit, so. I guess the other thing is the next city county meeting is May 20th.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.